It was written by King David, who in earlier life, as you know, was a shepherd and was very familiar with the activities of the shepherd and a shepherd and his sheep. And sheep were very important in ancient Israel. Wealth was determined by the number of flocks. You remember the example of Abraham. He talks about a lot of sheep that he had. Sheep can eat poorer grass than cattle can, and can therefore feed on the hills as well, rather not just the valleys. And sheep provided wool for clothing, and people drank sheep milk in those days, but they were very rarely eaten. They were usually only eaten at festivals or special occasions. And also sheep shearing was a special time for rejoicing. Sheep are usually sheared in the summer. And you find in 1 Samuel 25 the story of David and his group who went to this man who was called Nabal, who was a fool, who was celebrating his shearing. And he refused to give any food to David, despite the fact that David and his men had protected the sheep and their shepherds, his shepherds. So in Joshua 6 verse 4 you will find that ram's horns were used as trumpets. And also they were, if you turn over to 1 Samuel 16:13, this is where Samuel went to David. 1 Samuel 16:13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So they were used for anointing, and of course they were very important in the sacrificial system. Now these days shepherds have sheepdogs, as you know, but in Christ's day and in the Old Testament times, dogs didn't herd sheep. They were there for a different purpose. She talks about in Job, probably the first book of the Bible actually written, Job 30 verse 1, "And now they mock at me, men younger than I, whose father I disdained to put with the dogs of my flocks." So what the dogs were there for was to protect the animals, the sheep, from wolves and lions. The animals were a much bigger problem in the Old Testament because there were fewer people, and there were lions and bears, and I think David talks about fighting these animals to protect his sheep. So they slept outside the sheep pen at night in order to deter wild animals. And I remember a piece on the TV in Canada about a shepherd who was out in Alberta, I think, or British Columbia, up in the mountains where he had sheep, and he had 3 Rhodesian Ridgebacks, and Rhodesian Ridgebacks were used in Rhodesia to see off lions, so they've got no fear. And these Ridgebacks were used to see off the bears from attacking the sheep. And they, with 3 of them together, the bears stood no chance. So let's begin in Psalm 23. And a lot of this material is is obtained from a book about Psalm 23 written by a shepherd, and he really reveals a lot of meaning to these verses. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Verse 1 sets out the basis of the relationship between God and man. We are like sheep. I think that's a quotation from one of the prophets. We are like sheep who've gone astray. Yes. David called God our shepherd, showing that that relationship was not one of master and flock, but one of great love and concern. But it's also practical. When David speaks of want, he's not really talking about physical needs. The example of his own life shows this is the case. What the psalm is saying is that God will provide his loving care and expert management in our lives. The psalm as a whole covers different aspects of the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. It also covers a whole year's span in the life of the sheep. Note that sheep require endless attention and meticulous care. We are like sheep in many ways. Moderns describe this as high maintenance. God has done everything to prepare for humans from the creation to providing for our physical and spiritual needs. If human beings do their part, he went so far as to come and set us an example on how to live. And then Jesus Christ died for our sins. He bought us and we belong to him. We are under God's loving care. Do we fully understand and appreciate God's care? We should have a sense of contentment under God's loving care. And it's verse 2, it says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. And the shepherd points out that the sheep will only lie down if, one, they're free from fear, two, they're free from friction among each other, three, they're free from pests, and four, they're free from hunger. It depends on the diligence of the shepherd to deal with these needs. Sheep are very timid and will flee as a group in terror. The presence of the shepherd calms them down. So if Jesus Christ is present, we have no need to fear. In 2 Thessalonians 1:7, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Notice we have the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Sheep establish, like a lot of other groups of animals, they establish a hierarchy by the dominant sheep bucking the other sheep. They push against each other. And Ezekiel 34 talks about this. Ezekiel 34 verse 15 and 16. I will feed my flock, I will make them lie down, says the Lord. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. I will destroy the fat and strong and feed them in judgment. And in verse 20 and 22, Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep, because you have pushed with side and shoulder, butted all the weak ones with your horns, and scattered them abroad. Therefore I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. So the shepherd has to really watch for sheep pushing other sheep, stirring up trouble. However, notice that when the shepherd comes, the sheep stop pushing each other around. Contentment is very important, as we know from 1 Timothy 6:6. 1 Timothy 6:6. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. Also the shepherd needs to keep a constant lookout for pests. And I'll go more into pests a bit later on. We need to look to Jesus Christ when we face irritants in our lives. The next phrase is green pastures. Green pastures provide food for the sheep. But the pastures are not there naturally. They have to be prepared. Rocks, bushes, trees removed. The land needs to be planted with grasses and legumes and irrigated with water. Green pastures are essential for ewes to produce milk and for lambs to grow strong. Once they have had food and water, the sheep lie down and ruminate. They digest the food, they redigest the food as cows do. This is what it means by a land flowing with milk and honey. The land feeds the sheep produce milk, and the honey is from the bees flying through, fertilizing the flowers. It's symbolic of satisfied needs. God cleans up our lives through His Holy Spirit. He provides what we need through His Word to prosper spiritually. This is the life of quiet overcoming. He leads me beside still waters. The next phrase. The shepherd of the past led his flock. They don't do these days. They have sheepdogs doing it. But the flock recognized his voice. And apparently from research, they remember faces for up to 5 years. So they know the face of their shepherd, and they know the face of the sheep in their flock. They can distinguish between their flock and other flocks. Jesus illustrates this really well in John 10. John 10. Verse 1. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief or robber. A sheepfold was a piece of, usually a stone surround, as shown in that picture that they had in the fields when both the shepherd and the sheep were out. And they had one door, and it was used in the summer when the sheep were out all the time. In verse 2 he says, he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Apparently, as some farmers give names to cattle, they used to give names to sheep. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. He leads them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This is a perfect illustration of the way sheep were in ancient times, and also perhaps even now with the Arabs in the Middle East. Christ is the shepherd. We must follow him and respond to him. He doesn't force us to follow him. He speaks to us through his word. If someone doesn't speak according to God's word, we must not follow them. He leads us to places just as he led Israel. He leads us to good places where we can be refreshed. Psalm 80, verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who dwell between the cherubim and cherubim, shine forth. So God was the shepherd of Israel in the Old Testament. He's our shepherd now. He leads us to places where we can be refreshed. Sheep, believe it or not, comprise 70% water. So water is vital to their survival and well-being. Water can be obtained not just from ponds, but from the dew on the ground. So they don't... Or from wells. Remember the case of Jacob, how he met Rachel at a well where they gathered the sheep, and they were watering the sheep at the well. That was in a pretty dry land. Likewise, we, as you know, we need to be hungering and thirsting after God's word. Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And also, relative to the Pentecost tomorrow, in John 7, which was the... Actually, this wasn't Pentecost, but the subject was the same. On the last day, the great day of the feast, verse 37 of John 7, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. We need the Holy Spirit. We should hear a lot more about that tomorrow. Next is verse 3. He restores my soul. Now, if a sheep gets on its back, it cannot get up and is open to attack by predators, or will dehydrate and die very quickly. So the shepherd has to be particularly alert to this danger, especially if the ewes are pregnant and go into a sort of dip, and they trip and fall over. And in Matthew 18 is actually referring to this situation. It's called casting. Sheep gets cast. Matthew 18. Verse 12. What do you think? If a man hath 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountain to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. So again, the shepherd has to be very alert, watching his flock all the time, watching for all these sort of things. And the other problem is that if the sheep falls down to, if the fleece is too heavy as well, and the sheep falls down, it gets all matted in the mud. So as soon as he's got the sheep up, he has to be shorn. So whatever pulls us down has to be taken away. That's an urgent matter in that situation. And there in verse 3, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Sheep need careful handling and direction. They must be guided and directed, not to destroy the pasture. If you leave sheep in one place, they will root and root and root till the roots of the grass are destroyed, and they will wear paths, and they're great followers of routine. They don't take any initiative normally. They must be guided and directed not to destroy the pasture by staying in one location too long. So the shepherd has to work out where the sheep have to go so that he can rotate them from field to field or from area to area. They have to keep moving from pasture to pasture. They really like going into new pastures, fresh grass. And unfortunately, people tend to be set in their ways and go follow the same habits all the time, tend to be very stubborn. And Isaiah 53 verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Talking about Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. If we follow Christ, we will have the abundant spiritual food and the abundant spiritual life. And in verse 4 he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The summer season is the time of the year when the shepherd takes his flocks away from the home area, if he lives in a mountainous region, up to the mountains where they spend the summer. And the shepherd live with the sheep day and night up in the mountains. There are dangers of predators, storms, falling rocks, poisonous plants and floods. There are dark ravines through which the sheep could fall, into which the sheep could fall. The shepherd leads the flock through all these dangers. Quite often the narrow valleys provide the best grass, but there are also danger of falling in the streams or being attacked by animals, so the shepherd always has to be there watching. And in Matthew 28:20, we have something to encourage us. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God is always with us. We can always find strength and comfort in the time of trials. There's a very familiar scripture in Romans 8:26-28. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. Again, the use of the Spirit. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself gives intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he that searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. This includes things that on the face of it might not look good. It even includes our death. That works. God will work it out for our benefit. Ultimately, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The shepherd carried a rod and a staff. A rod was a long stick which was wide at the end. It sort of formed a club at the end. And apparently they used to practice throwing this so that they were really good, so that they could throw it at a wolf or a bear or a predator to frighten it away. And it was a symbol of the strength and the power of the shepherd. Remember that Moses had a rod, that God worked through the rod with Pharaoh. He used the rod to perform miracles. For us, the scriptures are a rod for our comfort and our strength and our protection. This is illustrated in Ephesians 6, verse 16 to 17. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which we are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. See, God's word gives us protection, provides protection, provides understanding, so we can avoid things. In the Old Testament also, the rod was used to count the sheep. You'll find that mentioned in Leviticus 27 verse 32. And it was also used to examine the sheep, because they used the rod to move the wool, which is, wool gets very thick. You put the rod on its back and it moves the wool to see whether it's being infected by anything. And in Psalm 139, it's a sort of parallel to this. Psalm 139, yeah, 23 to 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there are any wicked way in me that lead me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So God examines us like a shepherd does with his rod, moves the wool to see if the sheep is suffering in any way, how it's doing. The shepherd also had a crook. Sorry, the staff. As I say, that was the rod. The shepherd had a staff which had a crook at the end, which is a sort of curved. And only the shepherds had crooks, so that identifies the shepherd as a shepherd. The herder of cattle don't have it. It's a symbol of his concern and care. It was used to draw the sheep together. He could bring a newborn lamb to its mother so it would recognize it. Because if the lamb is not born, but brought immediately to the mother will reject it, and that creates problems. Can also be used to draw the sheep to the shepherd to be examined. It can be used to guide the sheep gently along the path by putting the staff down on the sheep's side and pulling it towards the shepherd. In the same way, the Holy Spirit guides and directs us gently in the way we should go. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint me, my head with oil, my cup runs over. Verse 5 deals with a subject very appropriate for the time coming up to Pentecost. This is the phrase, you anoint my head with oil. The oil has a parallel, of course, in the Bible with the Holy Spirit. And verse 5 illustrates three aspects of his care. The pests. Firstly, flies and insects. Sheep can be afflicted by insects such as ticks that attack the eyes and mites that bore into the sheep's ears and irritate them, putting them off their food. I talked to a sheep when I gave this as a sermonette years ago in Manchester. I talked to a shepherd about this in Lancashire, and he told me a lot of these things. These days, sheep are dipped twice a year after they're being sheared. The dip is based on creosote that protects the sheep from insects. But in ancient times, oil was used as a protection against insects. The shepherd has to keep a careful eye on the sheep to make sure they're healthy. Experience means that if a sheep has a problem, it can be recognized. For example, a sheep with mites attacking its ears stands near a wall with its head down, probably trying to scratch itself. Olive oil, sulfur and spices brought physical relief to the sheep. In the same way that the Holy Spirit brings us spiritual relief. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Peace is included in that. Secondly, summertime is also scab time in the sheep world. Scab is an irritating, highly contagious disease caused by a parasite. It is spread by direct contact between the infected and non-infected animals. Sheep love to rub heads with each other in an affectionate, friendly manner, and this spreads the scab infection. In the sacrificial system, the term blemish refers to being free of scab. So scab is symbolic of the contamination of sin, such as wrong ideas, practices, and beliefs. Second Corinthians 10:5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is done through the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to resist wrong ideas and thoughts and words. And finally, number 3, the fall season brings conflict between rams in the mating season. This conflict can cause injury and death, and the shepherd applies grease to the heads and noses of the rams, causing them to glance off each other, thus avoiding injury. We have conflicts and disputes between members of the church, and the Holy Spirit's fruits are needed to avoid and resolve conflicts. Philippians 2, verse 1. Philippians 2 verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. This is what we need to be striving for in our lives. So I've said Psalms 23 illustrates the different aspects of God's loving concern for his sheep, for his covenant people. He guides and directs us if we ask him and listen to him. He protects us when necessary. God the Father calls, and Jesus Christ works with us through the Holy Spirit if we are willing to respond to the call and become his sheep.